Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
For all NBA warriors, you are now tuned into Golden Spaces with Matt and Justin.
What up? It's Golden Spaces, an Odyssey original podcast. And we're bringing a special extra bonus segment, or actually show for you. It's not even a segment, but we just thought that Jonathan Kuminga was worthy of his own little short episode to discuss him. Justin and I, well, Justin really, and he's giving me the update, but we're tuned into this Bucks-Rockets game. And it looks like the Bucks are about to blow it, which is not ideal because the Warriors are about to play them next. And I just don't understand, Justin, why teams always want to beat the teams we're about to play and send them to us hungry. That's what they did with the Mavs, too. That's why when the Mavs were playing, I was like, I can't decide if I want the Mavs to win or lose this game. I want them to lose because it helps us in the standings, but then they're going to be like hella motivated to beat us because it would be three in a row. Is it looking like the Bucks are going to lose, Justin?
Oh, yeah. It's like 10 seconds left. They're down by 5 points. It's looking like they're going to lose. And, I mean, they've won 4 games before this in a row. So, I don't know.
But you know everybody already gets up for the Warriors.
Right. I think they're going to bring it anyway. So,
anyway. Jonathan Kuminga has been in the last, so there was the Celtics, the game before that was Utah, right? Was that the heartbreaking game that we lost, that they shouldn't have lost? So it was Utah before that. And then before the Utah game, there was another game.
Indiana.
What game was that? Was it Indiana? Okay. But he's played well in the last few games. And he definitely played really well in that Utah game that they lost. Like, I don't even want to count that game as a loss because they were really supposed to win.
Yeah, he played well in the Indiana game, too. He came in and injected some energy into the team when they just looked dead and uninterested.
That's what I thought. So I'm looking. So it was like, even though they had two L's before the W, what we were all seeing and noticing was that Jonathan Kuminga had been playing really well. And it's not just because of, like, you know, if you look at the box score or whatever, right, you look, he played 23 minutes, 10 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, whatever. But it's not really even, like, the output. It's just, like, what he's doing out there on defense, right? Like, all those other things are good, too. So I'm not saying they're not. But it's, like, what he's doing out there on defense. And he seems to be starting to get the Warriors system. So with each game, he looks a little better and a little better. So everyone's been excited about him. Before the season started, and even at the beginning, as we've been like kind of breaking down the Warriors games, like we were like, we need like one of these young guys to pop, you know? And I think maybe even coming to the season, I mean, you did always kind of say you thought it would be hard for Moody to break the rotation, but I think there's always sort of been this idea that Moody would be the one who would kind of get things sooner because, like, he wasn't as raw as Jonathan Kuminga, right? But, and maybe it's just because Kuminga's getting the time on the court and Moody isn't, but it seems like that player who's going to, like, pop for us this year is going to be Jonathan Kuminga. So what have you been seeing for him? I know you've always kind of mentioned, like he's best if he's like in the GP2 role from last year, you know? But like, what are you seeing from him that like makes you most happy?
Just his aggression, fearlessness. You know, they've essentially just said, yo, you're going to go out there and guard the best players in the league for us. And he's like, all right, like they're not going to score on me, you know? And he's held his own. He projects as one of the best wing defenders in the NBA, you know, very, very soon. He stays in front of guys, and he's not quite like the pickpocket that GP2 was. Like GP2, you dribble twice in front of him and he's just taking it the other way. But guys just can't get by him. It's hard to shoot over him. And he's surprisingly very disciplined for a player of his age. You know, like guys give him pump fakes, he stays down. He doesn't like foul a ton. You know, he did foul out against the Pacers, but I think that was just him playing with energy, trying to get them back into the game. And, you know, he gets called for some crazy, the Warriors in general get called for some bad fouls. But yeah, just his energy, his attention to detail has gotten so much better. And he gets better, it seems like, every few games. Like he picks something else up and he adds it to his game and he just gets more and more comfortable out there. So that's really the main thing that stood out to me. You know, I think coming into the league, his athleticism obviously has popped, but the mental side and the focus and the aggression, you know, is what sticks out the most right now.
So once he sort of develops, though, the reputation as a defender, as a defensive player, he'll start to get more of those calls from the refs, like, or I should say less of them, where they give him the benefit of the doubt and they don't, like, call him for everything, right?
Yeah, hopefully. That's typically what goes on. Guys with that reputation get a little bit more rope with the refs. They can be more physical. You know, you see Dre get away with some stuff. You see Looney get away with some stuff. Guys like Patrick Beverley, definitely. But guys like Steph, who have the reputation of not being a great defender, gets called for everything ticky-tack. So hopefully Jonathan
can like get that, like that play, like in the game last night when like Steph was just like moving with the guy. Like, yeah, he put two hands on him, but it wasn't a foul. I was like, what is this? Right. You haven't called that all night, and now you're calling this on like the face of the NBA? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that happens to Steph all the time. The landing space foul doesn't apply to him, but let him breathe on somebody while they're shooting. It's a foul. It's a travesty. But yeah, Kuminga. Let's talk about more about Kuminga.
Yeah, and I do want to give Kuminga his flowers, but you brought up Loon. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Loon doesn't get enough flowers. Like, I mean, I think the fan base now, we give it to him. But, like, in terms of who he is as a defender in the league, I don't think he gets enough flowers. And, like, it's something about him. But Loon, really, I mean, it's in many games. But, like, he really gives the Celtics problems.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're a team full of wings, right? And he's essentially a really big wing, right? He doesn't have the legs to move the way he used to move on offense. So that's why he's more of just like a center now. But when you play a team like the Celtics, especially without Horford and without Rob Williams playing, then he's the biggest guy on the court, right? Blake Griffin's a big, strong guy, but he's never really been like a super physical inside player to go grab and bang a bunch of rebounds. He's like, I'm going to jump over you type of guy. And Grant Williams is a good player, but he's not that type of player either, right? Looney is like, okay, if the ball is near me and you're not Steven Adams, and even against Steven Adams, he gets boards, but if you're not like a huge player that's just towering over me and put me under the basket, I'm going to grab the rebound, whether it's on offense or defense. And that was just something I guess I didn't really think about going into the game, but they're missing their two starting bigs. It's a kind of no-brainer at this point. You think Looney's going to have a good rebound tonight. And what do you have, like 15 rebounds?
Yeah.
Guys are just too small for him. Like, his arms are super long, and he's one of those, like, special rebounders where he understands how the ball's coming off the rim. He understands when to time his jumps and all that type of stuff. So really, really special in what he does well. He's one of the best in the league at everything that he does well.
I mean, I feel like I'm starting to see the makings of our defense, right? And so it's like, we already knew about Loon. You have Draymond. We're about to get back to Kuminga. He's coming into form. But you also have Dante, who... Dante's doing, like, I feel like Dante's, like, sneaky, like, under the radar also. Like, not kind of getting the attention. But he's sort of somewhat of a menace out there on defense. It's not in the same way as, like, GP2, but he's just very disruptive, you know?
Yeah, he's a pest. He's going to get under your dribble. He's going to get under you when you catch the ball. He's flying through passing lanes and stuff like that. He just plays really, really hard. And he's also very smart, right? So it's kind of like he gambles sometimes and he gets burned. But for the most part, he gambles having a plan, which, you know, that's that makes for a very dangerous defensive player. We all thought, like, he was going to be in the GP2 role but give us more offensively. And he's given us some offensively. But the jump, the three hasn't really been, like, as, I guess, prolific as we thought it was going to be. We thought he's going to be a consistent, maybe 1 to 2 3-point shots a game type of guy. He hasn't been that. But he's doing all the dirty work, and that's essentially what you need on this team, right? You already have all your scorers. You have most – you have all your ball handlers, really. And his job is to go in there, make guys uncomfortable, fight for rebounds, just be scrappy. And that's just what he's done, really, his entire life. We've seen that even in Villanova.
So now when you bring Kuminga into that, right, like, what does that mean potentially for the team's defense and, like, their ceiling, and what can they be? Can they be a top five defense?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, they've been the top five defense since, like, early in the season after that road trip. They've been, like, top tier in defense. I think their defense can be even better. Top two? I think when it's all said and done, and it's like, all right, you got to win this playoff series tomorrow, there'll be a top two defense. You know, like, all their main guys are going to play a lot of minutes. And one, as long as they're playing all their guys a lot of minutes, they're going to be the best defensive team in the league, most likely. Over the course of a season, I still think they're waiting on that one player that they can get in the front court, so you can play Jonathan Kuminga more, because you can have more lineup versatility with a front court guy that can shoot the ball. But once they do that, I think the sky's the limit for their regular season defense as well. It's just regular season offensive and defensive rating. It obviously is heavily influenced by your main guys, but it takes into account, like, a lot of your deep bench guys that just come in and don't just completely sink the ship, you know. So they're waiting on a guy.
So before Wiseman got sent to the G League, right, part of the issue with playing Kuminga was, like, him and Wise sort of operate in the same space on the court. So, or rather, like, Kuminga wasn't really a three yet, so you needed him to play the four. So he's back. Well, Wiseman isn't back, but, like, Kuminga's been reinserted into the lineup and he's playing more, but he is playing at the four. He's not having to play, like, the three. But you were calling for that. Like, I mean, when I say you were calling for that, like, a lot of us were like, just give Kuminga a chance, like, let him play. Like, it's okay. Let him make a few mistakes, but it was better to have him out there. But is this, like, what you envision he could be, like, if he was getting time on the court and getting the reps? Like, is this what you were seeing for him?
Yeah, for sure. He was doing a lot of this stuff last year. It was just, you know, he was obviously making more mistakes as a rookie. And he was kind of calling his own number a lot more as a rookie. But, yeah, this is exactly what I envision. Just guy that can infect a game with his athleticism first. Go out there and just dunk on somebody. Go out there and just sky for a rebound that nobody can get to before you. Go out there and stay in front of a guy for 94 feet and just eat up the other team's shot clock, stuff like that. But the mental side, like I said, his IQ has gotten so much better. His focus and understanding his role and how he's a cog, a part of the entire machine, instead of just a shiny object that needs to showcase all of his skills at all times. That is going to continue to pay dividends. And I think the sky's the limit, right? Because then once you really understand that, and then he gets more comfortable with the guys, then they start finding him even more, right? And then they build the chemistry even more. So I think the sky's the limit for him.
And so this is like what Kerr was referencing when he like wants him to be like Sean Marion, right? Like, you know, or at least the way Sean was like early in his career. So do you, I mean, Kerr has a thing for like veteran players and older guys. We know that already, right? Like that's just how he is. And you know, I always hear like Marcus Thompson and Slater, like on their podcast, they make this point that like it's certain kinds of mistakes that Kerr doesn't like, because like it's not like Anthony Lamb, you know, wasn't out there making mistakes, but yet he still kept getting the chance to play. But like Moody can't get back on the court. And like, yeah, we know there may be some other reasons for that, because just also like positionally, but you know, Kuminga couldn't get back on the court, you know? But there was also like a lot of talk, you know, that would come out like about like, oh, I don't know if people were like, I don't know if it was attitude, if it was work ethic, you know, kind of the reports were sort of vague, but it was just like sort of this idea, like sort of like he already thinks he's that guy, you know? So now that he's back and playing well, you know, there's sort of this thinking like, oh, well, like, see, it was good for him that like they sat him. And I'm like, was it? Like, for me, I look at it and I feel like we just wasted time. You know, I feel like, you know, I feel like it was like just an exercise and I don't know, but I just feel like coaches have this thing, you know, a lot of them, not all, but I think there's this like, you know, and maybe Steve Kerr isn't to this degree, but you heard like Matt Barnes sort of talking about it recently when he was talking about like Nate McMillan and like those old school coaches and that kind of like, you know, it's like this need to kind of like assert, you know, your control and dominance, and like the players, you know, have to listen to you and be a certain way. And so when I feel like when it comes to like a Jonathan Kuminga, I would always hear, you know, a lot of fans say, well, you know, he needs to earn and prove. And I'm like, I feel like he's already earned and showed he should be on the court based on his past play. And I'm like, how are you guys surprised that a number 7 pick is confident and thinks that he should be out there? I prefer him being confident than being like Wiseman, on the other hand, who it's been noted to say, like, he takes things so personally, you know, really, really hard on himself, you know, because like Kuminga, he might make a mistake out there and he's kind of like, oh, well, you know, and like we see it in games, like where he like mess up, but then like 2 plays later, you know, he was fine and he didn't seem to let things affect him from game to game. So I didn't really have a, like, even if that was his temperament, I guess I didn't have a problem with it. And I feel like, and I understand because of the leader who Steph is and the tone that he set, like everybody wants everyone to be like Steph, but that's not who he is. And I don't think he has to be like, Steph is unique. Like Kobe wasn't like that, you know, like lots of players weren't like that who still turned out to be great players. So I guess I'm just not sold on this idea that he had to be like benched and DNP'd, right? Like, you know, they're like, well, look, here's the evidence. He's playing better. I said, but there's other things that happen. Like he's playing at the 4, he's getting game time, he's not being yanked the second he makes a mistake. Like there's a peace of mind, I think, that goes along with knowing that like I'm not just gonna get pulled if I do something that probably even makes you loosen up and say okay, you know. And then also just the fact that you're getting the reps and you get to play. So like we'll never know what like I guess accounted for the change, but I just think it's a little naive to believe, like, how long has it been? Like a month, a few weeks? I don't know what it amounts to, but so just in a few weeks by doing that, all of a sudden this completely changed. Like, like it just, it seems like really strong confirmation bias to me and not realistic. But I'm curious from you hoop, you know, I'm sure you've dealt with like different coaches, and I'm not saying that there's not times that a player won't need that, but I think this incessant need to want to like I don't know, get the players in their place. It just sort of like, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way. I don't like it. But what are your thoughts on him and maybe what has contributed to his success or him looking improved now?
Yeah, I agree with you saying, like, you don't know, right? Like, we can speculate and say, oh, it was him being benched that triggered something in him. Or we can say, like, it was just coach had more confidence in him to play him more, so he played with more confidence in himself. You know, it's just ultimately only he knows what's contributing to him playing better. So as someone who has played, you know, and been in situations where I can make 1,000 mistakes in a row and I won't be taken out, or I've been in situations where I make even a half a mistake and I'm getting yanked. Like, I've been on both sides of the spectrum myself, and obviously it's different at the NBA level when that money is involved and all the different dynamics of being a high draft pick and stuff. So I think it definitely makes a difference when you are playing looking over your shoulder, right? When you're playing and say, yo, if I make a mistake, I'm coming out and I'm not playing for the rest of this game or next game. You know, it does something for your game when you have the confidence from your coach to say, okay, we trust you enough to live through a potential mistake that you might make because we know that you're going to help us impact the game in a positive way when you're out there over the course of however many minutes that you are out there. So like I said, it's more speculation whether or not, you know, anything in particular contributed to him playing better. I think we should just all be happy that he is playing the way that he's playing, and, you know, hopefully he can continue it. So we won't even have to think about this part of the season anymore, or the portion of the season before here anymore. So,
and do you think he's going to get to a place that he'll really be able to help them for the postseason?
Oh, yeah, I think he's there. I think he's shown over the last few weeks when you put him on Luka and he guarded him well. You put him on Tatum, he guarded him well. He showed last year they put him on guys. I remember I think they put him on James Harden or something when they played Brooklyn, and James Harden had a tough time. They put him on LaMelo Ball early season last year. I think it's very clear, like, what he can do on the court, and I think Kerr's, you know, the confidence is growing there. I think Draymond is another guy that's probably advocating for him, especially Andre as well. So I think he's firmly putting himself in the playoff rotation at this point, and they absolutely need it because they aren't as deep as we thought they were going to be this season. So, yeah, I think he's there. He's firmly in the rotation at this point, probably 15 to 22 minutes per game type of guy going forward.
Are there any teams you really want to see? I mean, you mentioned, like, when we did, like, recorded the last pod, like, that you want to see, like, how he looks, like, in the Bucks. But he struggled some with the Grizzlies last year when we played them. But now he's another year more mature, whatever. So, I mean, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like when we play the Grizzlies on Christmas Day. But, mm-hmm. You're shaking your head, so maybe you're curious too, but are there any teams in particular that you want to see, like, how he looks versus those teams?
Yeah, definitely Memphis, just because they just need another guy that they can put in front of Ja Morant. They're obviously going to try Wiggins. They're going to try Dante, but it's tough to stay in front of that guy. He's so athletic and quick, and he's slippery, small, that type of guy. And just teams in general that have a lot of athletes, because we're going to need to play as all of our athletes, and he's one of them. So the Grizzlies, for sure. We've already seen how he looks kind of against the Pelicans. He did a good job. We saw he blocked Zion once, and just he's one of those guys when it's a team that has another guy on there that's just a freak, he is shown, like, okay, I'm just as freakish as you guys out there.
So, I feel like he likes that. Like, he wants to go toe-to-toe with those guys, which is why I don't want to, like, ruin his confidence. And I don't think he can, to be honest, but I like that. Like, he looked at Tatum like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And he wants that. Like, and I like that. I love that. You know, as long as he doesn't get so lost in the, like, you know, potential one-on-one matchup and that he's not playing with them, but, like, I like that. I want him going at people.
Yep. And I mean, I said this a few pods ago, like, he's cut from that cloth. Like, that is the Warriors cloth right there. Like, Draymond early in his career, him and Blake Griffin, like, he's like, I'm better than Blake. Like, whatever. Steph obviously going toe-to-toe with Russ and KD and Chris Paul and all the best players in the league at the time. Klay is one of the most competitive people that – I mean, all of them say that Klay's like the most competitive guy of the bunch, right? He just wants to win so bad. And even Jordan, you know, always talking with people, like getting into it with guys, got into it with Dame as a rookie before he even established his name. That's the Warriors' cloth. That's what makes them so good. It's a big reason what makes them so good is they execute and they're all super competitive. They hate losing. And that's how you build a dynasty. And that's why I think he slides right into that mold easily. And he should be someone that they invest in long term because he fits their, you know, their makeup. So I love it too.
All right. So Joku's a keeper and he's helping to shore up our defense. And we're excited about that. Those are my takeaways, Justin.
I agree. And he's, all right, he's a poster machine.
So we're going to be getting some more posters. You know who I need him to poster?
Chris Paul.
I don't even care about him. Ja Morant.
Ja Morant. I doubt Ja will ever jump with him. But
I need one on Ja Morant. Like,
I know, you know what we need? We need Ja to try to dunk on him and he just like palms it and stuffs it. That would be I don't know if he would. He'll probably jump with Ja, but that's risky because Ja is.
I'm so tired of hearing about all his old. If he would have made that, like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't want to hear about old maids, okay? Like, enough. Listen, Andrew gave me Luca. I need Joe. Yeah, but Luca's bad. Brandon might have even been like, look, and didn't he go with Cat too, now that I'm thinking about it? Listen. Sometimes it's nastier, like it's other people, but when you do it to the stars, you know, you get Luca, you get Jason Tatum, you know what I'm saying? So I need Ja to get embarrassed. Needs to happen. Whether it's a block, a poster, whatever it is, but I need it to happen because them dudes be talking too much, yo.
Yeah, it's awesome. That would be amazing.
Anyway, Justin, I appreciate you. I hope y'all enjoyed this little extra bonus from us. They got us working hard over here. So we putting in work, you know, you interrupting Justin's dating life. So I hope y'all appreciate that. All right. But y'all will be hearing from us again soon. Looking forward to this Bucks game. So until next time, guys, this is Golden Spaces with Nat and Justin. We'll be back soon. Take care. Download, rate, review. You know the drill. See y'all soon or talk to y'all soon. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.